Check out Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico, the podcast for millennials on the go. This podcast features guests from different walks of life who have wiggled their way into finding success in their chosen fields.
We're trying to find ourselves. We're trying to land our feet on the ground and be part of society. Who are we in society? How can we be useful?
Character development really did start when I cosplayed. You bump into troubles when you're younger and then you realize, oh, I did wrong.
Get to hear insights on how to navigate the corporate jungle, even life in general.
Put integrity first at all times, no matter what it is that you're doing, because you can never go wrong if you stick to your principles.
I just chose a hobby that I like a lot and I'm passionate about, and then just put your heart into it and then make money out of it.
Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. Download for free on Spotify. Follow the podcast and stream now.
Hi, welcome to Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. Nico, who do we have today in our studio?
Zana, we have a very special guest. I would have to say, so far, in all our episodes, probably it's the first time we've had like a celebrity on the podcast. Now, this guy is someone who has become like a household name after a short span of time. He's been known as a drummer for bands here in the city, but then eventually went to 180 and went into the rap game. And wow, if he was a big name when he was a drummer back then, he's even a bigger star now that he's into rap music and producing. We have very interesting stories to tell about his life and how he got into the scene. So everybody, we all know him as Cookies. Hey bro.
What's up, everyone? Thank you for having me here.
It's a privilege for us to have a superstar here, Joe, today. Everybody is so excited for you to come and, you know, to meet you and get your autograph.
And I think Zana has seen it personally, and everyone here, the staff, we've seen people like come up here and take pictures and everything. Because, you know, like I said, Cookies or Job basically is a household name because of his songs. See, amazing what songs can do. It just brings people, you know, closer together. You have your own experiences, your own story to tell about that song that, you know, that's how you attach to the artist. It's just, I think, for everyone here, it's just happy to know that you can put a face to the voice. And yeah. So again, thank you.
I hope you're not disappointed with my face.
Bro, with the first question should be like, why Cookies? Of all names, man. You could call yourself, like seriously, you could even call yourself Job, and that could be your rapper name. Yeah. But why Cookies?
Shout out to my homie Duder, aka Joints and Cookies. He has a clothing line, which I always wear when I was in Atlanta. And this specific shirt says Cookies printed on it. With the old English font.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And I started to go out, going to parties, and friends just start calling me Cookie because I wear that shirt all the time.
Now, yeah. Before you even got to like Cookies, you know, the household name, you were a drummer for bands here in the city. Can you tell everyone which bands you were with and what... If you want to give us the years too, that would be great. I know it will give them a little idea what your age is, but you know, let them figure that out. But you know, there has to be like a timeline. Like, when did you start, like, you know, playing in bands?
When I was a kid, my parents was in the Christian community called Couples for Christ, and they were assigned to the head of the music ministry, so they ended up buying the drum set, all the music equipment for the community, and of course they stored it in our space, in our house, and of course the drums is very, it's more fun to play with, so I started playing the drums, and I started to become good at it, and the Christian community went. In the youth division, they were looking for a drummer, and hey, I got the skills now. Let me try and share it with you guys. So,
and good for you. You have all the equipment at home. Hey, so
thank you.
Everything is within your reach, right? Yeah. So,
how did you actually learn it yourself? Did you take lessons from someone else? Who was your sifu for the drums?
Shout out to Elmer Imas. He's the one who influenced me, taught me how to play drums, and now he's our sound engineer.
Oh, great!
Imagine how the table, like,
wow! It's a full circle.
It's full circle, yeah.
Because in this industry, you know, the circle is close knit. So you want to make sure that you work with the people you've had previously connections with. It's gonna be easier for you to collaborate that way. Now, when did you decide to like leave the country, and what made you like decide? I mean, you've had a good career being like a drummer for these bands, but you know, what made you decide to you know, venture into another, you know, chapter of your life?
Yeah, my mom decided it for me. So I have to. I was petitioned and.
Oh, you were, okay.
She was like, "Yep, you're moving here."
And what year was this?
2013.
Which, where in the US, right? Where in
Atlanta.
The US?
And the music scene there, especially hip-hop, is just
hip-hop
big.
Is,
ATL is, who's like the front runners there for hip-hop?
A lot,
right?
Future, Migos, Gucci Mane. Uh-huh. If you're going back to the 2000s, Outkast.
Oh, yeah.
T.I., Usher.
Now, with the Atlanta, the music scene, I'm pretty sure you fell in love with the scene and the music that's really out there. What got you into the rap scene? Because I know it's different when you're like writing songs, thinking of the beats, like, you know, being a drummer. But now you have to be like the face of the franchise, which is, I think, really different because you write songs. He also produces too, so
okay.
Yeah, it's a bonus. What made you decide to like switch? And was it like difficult to like tell everyone, "Hey, I'm a rapper now"?
Is that it? It was not that simple to switch. When I was a drummer in Atlanta, it's not like here. If you're a drummer here, the bar, they already have a setup. They already have a drum set that all you gotta do is just sit, bring your cymbals, and that's it.
That's it.
In Atlanta, it's the shows there. You gotta bring your own drums. You gotta set it up yourself.
You hold everything, right?
Yeah. Oh. And I was having fun for a year until I got tired of it.
Okay.
Because I was just bringing my drum set from my car, setting it up, and then putting it back. For a $20 gig or even free, like, I was following my passion at that time. So, and then to a point where I questioned, like, what? I don't like this anymore.
Now, this part of this chapter of your life, I didn't know. I didn't know that you were actually playing, like, solid, like, gigs in Atlanta as a drummer. Now, what kind of songs did you play then?
I had a metal band and a reggae band.
Sweet. Sweet.
You know, like moving. Okay, so you were playing. You were playing here in the Philippines. Then you moved to Atlanta, and then you start playing there. How soon after you relocated that you went back to that, you know, playing again? How long does it take you to be in in the industry?
Was there a long gap before you like played?
No, the first thing I did when I got there, I went straight to Craigslist. It's like storia.net.
I was just
looking for a band, looking for a drummer. My goal at that time is I wanted to become a touring drummer when I got there.
Okay.
I see.
So you know what you want to do before you get there.
Because when I got there, I had no friends, nothing.
Yes.
So I was like super bored, and I found this book at our house, The Magic of Thinking Big. And I started reading that, and that I got more ideas, like, whoa, what if I become a millionaire or something, you know?
Right.
So, I like that.
Now, the rap game. this the song you put out, what year did you put out? Which one went out first? Was it Snatcher or was it
Snatcher Rap?
Snatcher was, what year was that?
2019.
Now, how long was the process of like creating the song and the recording part of it?
Well, when I decided to become a rapper, aka songwriter, I don't want to see myself as a rapper. I'm a songwriter.
Songwriter. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I get you. I get you.
When I started writing songs, it was January of 2018.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So you gave it a good year.
A good year. And every week I just write something, even though it's cringy. Just write until I got good at coming up with
hooks.
Yeah. Hooks, verse. Mm-hmm. And then I started going to the studio. That's another skill to learn, because if you're in the studio, you're like, if you're not used to it, you're very conscious about your voice and you ended up not really expressing. I got good at being consistent
in the studio
until after a year of doing that, going to the studio, and then until I released a song called Why Angay. I just released it December 2018, and then I got a good
response.
So, okay. What? Now I started writing Bogo and Snatcher Rap, and the rest is history. So when I started, I used to write English. I just decided, you know, let me try and speak in my language. And then it got more natural. Like, okay.
All right.
There you go.
Okay.
And plus, already the countless studio hours that I've been going to. And then when I switched to my language, you know, it's easier for me to say it now, because it's natural, more natural now. Yeah.
Which leads me to my next question. That flow that you have, which is, I think it's what sets you apart from all the Bisaya rappers out there, because his flow.
It's the ATL flow, you know what I'm saying?
That's the ATL flow. Okay, because I think it meshes very well. You get what I mean? Okay.
Shout out to Jay-Z.
So here's the thing, Pinoy, especially Cebuanos, we are known for like hard accent, right? A hard accent, in Manila, they call it tricycle. For us here, tricycle. Now, you marry that with the ATL flow, and then Cookies spitting bars. It's a healthy marriage, because the flow and the accent that we have in Bisaya,
it just hits.
It just works very well.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And that's definitely what I noticed. And then because of his songs going viral and people knowing it, you now hear a lot of the rappers, not only here in Cebu, especially in the Visayas region, in Mindanao. We also have some rap artists who emulate his flow and all that, and I think that's really
so you
thing.
Actually started a trend.
Yes.
Yeah. I would love to say that.
Yeah, because really before good. People were not sure about mixing Bisaya like rap song,
right.
But when you started it, they was like, actually that works really well. So you're sort of like leading the.
It was a blue ocean market. I'm like the only one doing it at the time. And
why not?
You know, so.
Let's talk about probably two songs that I think really like hit the nail in the head. Snatcher. Snatcher is I think one of them songs, because I want to know, was it like a true story?
Yeah. It's my brother.
Your brother, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When you released the song, it was like 2018, 2019.
It was 2019, yeah.
So what happened to your brother?
Held up.
Yeah, held up.
Got held up.
With a, like...
I don't know what kind of weapon, but his phone's gone, so they already had
so
it.
That's, so that's the song.
Okay.
That's basically the song. Snatcher.
Okay. Right.
So he was like...
Storytelling about that alley. Don't go to that alley.
Yeah. Oh.
So, yeah.
So, but it was masterfully done. Like you have an idea how it happened, but you're like rapping and singing along to it. So you have, it's like you're painting a picture of the actual scenario, what happened that evening, stuff like that. That's really good.
As a songwriter, right? It's either you write song about your experience or you write songs about other people's experience. Is that true?
It's absolutely true. The professional songwriters, they just come up with their own experiences.
Right. Mm.
And maybe just watch a movie and got an influence from that and started writing it and selling it to celebrities. Mm.
So. Then it becomes a song. Yeah. Is that the process?
Yeah. So yeah. You gotta have to mine ideas.
Right.
Then, You come up with a.
You constantly come up with like inspiration everywhere, anytime. Mm-hmm. But then.
But that's also a task. It's
true.
Not like
true.
You have to wait for it. You gotta set up an environment where it comes.
But how do you come up with the tunes, the melody?
I'll just have one of my friends who makes the tunes.
Mm.
Or I'll just look at websites that sells beats.
Beats.
Uh-huh. So when I write, I first listen to the beat, the tune, the instrumental. You'll find the right one when you started. When you start to spit. It's the term spit.
Yeah.
Start to rap or sing subconsciously.
That tune comes up in your head.
Yeah, the tune comes out and there's this certain word or maybe an expression, maybe what you felt maybe an hour ago, maybe someone spilled coffee in your shirt. And then you can be like, man, that dude. And you just come out and something
and
like
it's
that.
It's called spit.
Spit is the term for in rapping where you just spitting words, rhymes.
Yeah. So. As a songwriter, you have your favorite, but sometimes it's not, you know, what you like. It's not what the public likes.
I can tell you the least like.
Okay, okay.
Which is the Sabak Daddy.
Oh, really?
I do not like that song at all.
What does sabak mean?
Sabak.
Sit on my lap.
Why didn't you like it?
It's just, I got tired of it because it's so. I just wrote it. When I wrote it, I was just laughing. Oh. I was wrote it, oh my God. And then I just dropped it. It's like, okay, whatever. I already knew that was a hit at that time. Uh-huh. I was even debating, should I release it? Because it's a little edgy and I don't really want to be associated with that image. Mm. And I was like, hey, it's art, so.
Why not?
Yeah, so if it hits, then good. If it doesn't hit, then it's better. So. And now it became a hit, so it became much worse. So
I was actually thinking about that on the way here. You're very selective with the people you work with.
Yes, absolutely.
Come on. I mean, everyone knows you. And for sure, there are a lot of artists that do want to make a song with you, have you produce a beat for them. But then I noticed that you're really very picky about it.
Let's hang out first, you know? I want to know if you're a friend or a... So, I don't know. Let's vibe first. Maybe like if you're already hanging out 2, 3, 4 times, then we got, okay, then we, but it's not even like forcing it. It just happens, so.
But it's easy to be selective when you've already made a name, correct? Before you would go out and go like, who wants to work with me? Now you just sit down and go like, can I work with you?
No, it's more of a... Hey, I've been hanging out with you for a while and you just so happens that we're in the studio and let's come up with something.
Mm-hmm. Are you signed to a major label or are you still indie?
Not independent.
Still indie?
Yeah.
See? Indie. See, that's his leverage. His leverage is he's indie. He can work with anyone.
Yeah. And that it seems that although it's art, you know, some people think art is a free form. Yeah. You just grow, you just develop. It's all about emotion.
Yeah. I am more happy if I'm able to contribute something to the community, you know, or society. Mm. So it just gets my blood flow. You know, it's flow. You're in flow state because you're always moving.
You know, a job, he wants to find purpose. I think is what it is. But his mind is different. He's wired different.
Are you planning to have like your manager to actually market you, building your networks and all that, or you prefer to do it yourself?
Currently, I have a booking manager.
I see. Okay.
He handles all the bookings. So all I gotta think of is just creating. And okay. I also have a brand manager. If there's a brand comes in, all right, you talk to my friend. So, and then they get the cut.
Okay, yeah.
Just delegate.
That's true, yeah. Because you delegate the work that you don't like to do.
Yeah, I don't like to do that. So, yeah. My next gig will be up until December already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's your book until December. How many people actually, because you're like a business itself, right? So how many people actually work for Cookie, for that brand?
Contracting. I have a person that's shout out to Shakbil Paukas. He manages my studio. And he's on salary, but every time I have a gig, it's project-based.
Project-based. Yeah,
so
that's the way to go.
Maybe eight people. Yeah, so right. Okay. Every time I have a gig. So,
So you see them actually in the video too.
Who is your... I know this, right? Let's say, who is your muse? Who is that persona that you write to?
Whatever I felt at that time. And let me give you an example. Bogo. That song, that's stupid. I was mad. My persona was like, yeah, I'm mad. Like, let me...
And that's a person that you actually write it to.
Yeah, I was writing to a particular person because I was mad at him. Or I just saw it. Well, I saw it on a Facebook post. He posted a status that I'm not...
You're not keen.
I'm not keen to. Now, of course, yeah, free speech, but I'm free to be mad too, you know. So,
right.
I got mad. And just, you know, let me just write a song. And then after that, I laughed. Like, yo, that's actually pretty cool.
Going through your, like, your where you were. So you were from Cebu, then you moved to Atlanta, and now you're back here.
Yes.
How long ago did you come back?
April 15,
2022, this year.
Yeah, as soon as the economy
opened up,
like.
So when it was COVID, you were in Atlanta.
Oh, the entire time.
Wow. Okay. What was it like, lockdown and?
No, we're partying there.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't wanna. You know, the Philippines. They were very very strict.
Here's the thing. We even forgot about the other things he did in Atlanta. Now, apart from him being a drummer, you also dabbled into other, you know, other forms of work.
No,
what are the things you went into?
When I started to work in Atlanta, I was a dishwasher.
You know? Okay.
And after that, I got tired of it because my hands became soft. And I'm a drummer. And then I was like,
you can't have that.
I saw an ad looking for a sales representative for a small telecommunications brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... started to learn how to sell and talk to people and became a sales rep for B2B for LED lights, you know, for construction, schools, gas stations. While doing that, I was going back home, traffic, making music, you know. Hey, it's traffic. Let me just write a song. You know, most of my songs I wrote it in my car, so...
Oh, wow.
So,
but I think it's like, although it's not relevant, you know, like what you did were not relevant to music industry, you learned those skills to how you run your quasi-business right now.
Absolutely, because I got exposed to the business world that way. So, of course, if you're a sales rep, you always talk to the CEO and like, yo, report, like, what's good? And then they train you how to talk.
I think you're very privileged. The fact that, you know, you were able to marry, you know, this scene, the music scene, and, you know, how you run your business, because you've also worked for sales, you've worked for corporate, you have an idea how to have the perfect balance for things, because you can't just be an artist and just
without...
put things out there without, you know, with reckless abandon. You also have to think about where is this song going for? Who is this gonna hit?
I bought a course for digital marketing before I became Cookies.
That's what I could actually know. I know from how he speaks that he actually reads a lot.
Methodical, very methodical about things. And, I think that that's a huge attribute to the success you have now.
Again, shout out to the magic of thinking big. That's the first thing. When so, I was bored, you know, like, yo, let me just read. Yeah. Like, whoa, okay, this is a perfect first book to read.
So. I need to get that. Seriously.
Yeah.
from the time we started until now, you can already tell what he can do. He has a lot of things in his portfolio.
And he's, Cookie, you are not scared of, you know, goes like, oh, I'm not sure about that. I don't think that's in your dictionary, but I'm not sure. You go like, yeah, why not? Is that your perspective?
You know, sometimes you gotta assess risks. You know, like, is it risky? Risk management. So I'm not sure about that. But if it's safe, if it aligns to everything that you're doing, then why not? Why not?
As a matter of fact, you know, he's very aligned to what we do here because, we are actually part of Toastmasters. He is actually part of Toastmasters back in Atlanta. He wants to actually join one of our Toastmasters sessions. Why not, man?
This is it. You know, like being a musician doesn't mean you just go like, I just follow my emotion. It's about, you know, like if you want to do big in music, it's like a business as well. You need to know where you're going, how you get there, how to form a team, how to choose who you want to be in your team to actually make it good. Yes, I think that's the word. You curious. Are curious.
Let me try that.
I think that curiosity actually helped us to learn. Because if you're not curious, you're not learning new things.
Right.
You know?
I'm very curious. I want to know how to do it. It's just now I'm in that. I gotta have to go past that because now it's... You get the... If you think a lot about that, then you ended up not doing anything.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful way of you know, knowing that this guy is not a one-trick pony. He does a lot of things on the side apart from the music. So the music is not the end-all and be-all of Joe.
You try everything, right? You just
But again, you already have that knowledge. Like, you know how to do it.
It's just a matter of, is this the path that you want to take? But you've tried it.
Job, again, we are so happy to have you here on the podcast. This is season two of Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. Of course, it's brought to you by our friends from BSA Solutions Incorporated. We are a great place to work, certified, great place to work for 2023. Advice you want to give out to everyone who are actually watching the podcast.
Shout out to Luke Campoletta. He's the studio, the studio engineer for the songs that... For my songs that blew up. And he was the studio engineer when I started going to the studio a lot. And he's a very successful engineer in Atlanta. He worked with a lot of big artists like Drake, Kendrick Lamar, like all the big artists in Atlanta. But I happened to be a friend of him because when he graduated from Berklee College of Music. Well, actually, he didn't graduate. He moved from Berklee College of Music to Atlanta. And at that time, I was a drummer.
Okay.
And he just went to the show and he found the poster and he found our band name amusing. Like, all right, let me mix your song so that I can get good at... Basically, we became a guinea pig.
Okay.
And then after that, maybe after 2 years, we lost contact, and now he became a Grammy Award engineer for...
Wow.
But I didn't know at that time. I just hit him up like, yo, I started rapping right now. Do you know any studio space? Yeah, just go to my home basement. And he has a studio basement at his crib. And started working with him, and I specifically asked him, like, yo, what's your advice for all of this? And I was expecting to be so motivational and inspiring, and he just told me, yeah, just be consistent, man. I was like, consistent? Like, but now I took it to heart, like, consistency is about showing up even if you don't like it, you know? And why are you showing up even if you don't like it? Because you have a bigger goal or purpose that you wanted to achieve. And yeah, just going back to your question, just be consistent in whatever you guys are doing.
So consistency is key. And you said like the discipline, then the discipline comes in.
You gotta have self-discipline right. to be consistent, yes.
Right, because without the discipline, you wouldn't be
consistent.
Waking up in the morning yeah. to become consistent in what you do.
Yeah, so stay away from sugar.
Ouch! And probably, I think to wrap it up, the last thing I guess for you is productivity. You need to have something or a purpose to wait, you know, for you to wake up to in the morning. Because if you don't have that, then you wouldn't be driven to discipline yourself to do these things, to be consistent at what you do. You need to have that drive, that purpose. What is the reason for you to become who you want to be? What's the end goal?
What is it? What do you want Cookie to be? In case you become someone big in Atlanta, don't forget to give us your back pass, backstage pass.
I'm probably not gonna become as big. I don't know.
Why maybe, not? Why not, man? Easy meal.
No, but I'm
not comparing the both of you. I'm just saying.
No, I'm
you know,
not
if,
saying
if
that's
Pinoy...
what you should do. But yeah. What is it that Cookie wants? Job? No, not Cookie. What is it that Job wants?
Now, so I'm still looking for it.
Still looking for an
looking
answer.
For it, yeah.
I think that's the.
I need to actually get into the mojo.
If you really think about it, that's the perfect answer.
Why?
That's the perfect answer. You still are looking for it because you say that you already know what you really want to do in life,
then you stop trying.
Yeah, you stop trying
because
you know in 10, 15 years, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be there. But then you stumble into happy accidents. He wasn't supposed to be a rapper in the first place.
Yes.
Actually, went to Atlanta, became a rapper.
What I've been consistent in my mind was, I don't even want to say it because it's a goal that if you say, sometimes when you say your goal, it tricks your mind that you already did it. So
really? Okay.
Yeah, so...
Not with me, though.
Because he's driven
me.
Like that. Yeah. This is the point. He's driven that. If he says something, he's
Or maybe you always move the goalpost. You get there,
I always move the goalpost.
So there. And I think that's the beauty of your answer. You're still trying to figure it out. Because when you do that, like you said, you move the goalpost. If it doesn't happen, I go this way. If I go this way.
Maybe I'd say... to be able to have more control of my time in a bigger scale, you know, which is, let's say right now I can control my time, which is, okay, I'm gonna do this and do that. Let me go to Bohol, Panglao for a bit. Maybe in a bigger scale, let's go to Slovakia for a bit. Like, yeah, I got a whole, it's a bigger scale, but,
which is funny because that was my dream. That was really what I told myself back in college. I wanted to own my time.
In the early stage, right? You have to work hard to make
right.
your name.
True.
Because you have to live. You have to eat.
True.
You need roof over your head.
Absolutely.
Then when you get to like the next stage, you have a bit more money. Then you can go Bohol, Panglao.
I'm still in the second stage.
You go to the second stage, you go like same amount of time that you put in, but double the income.
Right.
Yeah, double the money,
Then
you go Slovakia.
Yeah. I went to Thailand, but I probably want to go to someplace else. And I can't go to Thailand every month. So it's like,
I gotta
come up with something to be able to make it feel more. Okay, I gotta go to Thailand. Let me see if the market is there. I'm performing with very wealthy people in all of Europe and America.
Never limit yourself. Try.
Yeah, we never know. Yeah. They probably find me amusing. Like,
why not? It?
Yeah.
And with that, we end our podcast. Thank you so much, Job. Thank you so much,
of
course,
for
the time.
Me.
Thank you, Job. It's been a real pleasure. I really actually enjoyed this podcast.
Thank you.
And we hope to see you on the next Toastmasters session. I'm pretty sure everyone from the Toastmasters Club will be very stoked to have you do one of the sessions. And that's about it for us. And we hope to see you on the next episode. This has been episode 2 of Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. Of course, this is brought to you by our friends from BSA Solutions. We are a certified great place to work for 2023. See ya next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Check out Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico, the podcast for millennials on the go. This podcast features guests from different walks of life who have wiggled their way into finding success in their chosen fields.
We're trying to find ourselves. We're trying to land our feet on the ground and be part of society. Who are we in society? How can we be useful?
Character development really did start when I cosplayed. You bump into troubles when you're younger and then you realize, oh, I did wrong.
Get to hear insights on how to navigate the corporate jungle, even life in general.
Put integrity first at all times, no matter what it is that you're doing. Because you can never go wrong if you stick to your principles.
I just chose a hobby that I like a lot and I'm passionate about. And then just put your heart into it and then make money out of it.
Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. Download for free on Spotify. Follow the podcast and stream now